Hello, Voltron fans, and welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. We are looking at Season 2, Episodes 7 and 8, Space Maul and the Blade of Marmora. And we have a very special guest with us tonight. So, team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Everybody come and play. Throw every last care away. Let's go to the mall today.
I forgot to dab because I was confused.
You did.
So I'm sorry.
I thought we were dabbing on today.
Yeah. So no, we all dabbed
the mall. We did it. We had
we did.
It down.
It was amazing, but we had
guys, I was watching the music video. I just got caught up.
Second verse, same as the first, you guys. Welcome back to the Voltron After Show. For those of you watching live, we apologize for the technical difficulties, but we are good to go right now. We have removed the Zarkon interference from our bond with our technical equipment.
Yeah.
So we are back.
We are
looking at Season 2, Episodes 7 and 8, Space Maul and the Blade of Marmora. And with me tonight, I have Red Lion, Emma Fife.
Yes, that's me, Emma Fife. Emma Fife is also my Twitter handle.
Blue Lion, Alexis Torres.
You can find me on social media at atorres890.
Green Lion, Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, you can tweet at me at the Manguin. That's THEMENGUIN.
We have a Yellow Lion, Mark Donica, in the booth in a few minutes. I am Black Lion, Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. We have the hashtag on Twitter, ABTVVoltron. We have the live chat. Emma's keeping an eye on that.
I am.
If you have something fun to say or if you have any questions for our guest, put them in there. And our very special guest this evening, joining us again, is Josh Keaton, the voice of Woo! Shiro.
Thank you. And you can find me at Josh Keaton.
Yeah. I thought we could find you on the couch.
And right here, yes.
There he is.
We found him, guys.
Yeah. It was looking dicey there for
here's
a while.
Here's Shiro.
Yeah, really yeah. Was.
Where's Shiro? Here's Shiro.
I mean, you went to the astral plane for a little while.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure
yeah.
you fought someone there.
Yeah,
it was a little
Neil
crazy.
Kaplan.
Fighting Neil Kaplan on the astral plane.
Battle of Minds. Yeah.
Do you guys typically fight when you guys do your cast recordings?
No, we don't actually like argue and everything, but yeah, it's always cool being in the booth with Neil. He's a sweet guy.
Well, thanks again for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I had such a blast the last time.
Yeah, so did
I was
we.
Really looking forward to coming back. I was like, I can't wait.
Yay!
Yeah.
We didn't scare you off. I'm happy.
And Emma's
here. I know.
Because
Emma
wasn't here last
time. It's so funny. Yeah, because Josh and I actually just met in person for the first time tonight. But,
right.
like, we have a lot of mutual friends, and we talk on Twitter a lot. So, like,
I felt like I knew her.
I know. Exactly.
So nice.
We're going to shake hands. It's like, no, just...
Yeah, just hug it out.
For those of you noticing a pattern, we tend to have people on the day after their birthday. This season.
I
so
know.
Happy birthday!
Yay. Thank you.
You have
so
a small
much.
Box. Go for it.
Okay, yeah. Sweet. What is this? What is it? What is it? It's cold.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a cake. with a beautiful little flower.
It's a tiny cake.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I love it.
Enjoy.
So sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Every cake was pink. One of them had a face on it.
That's weird.
Wait, what was it a face of?
It was just a little, it had eyes and a happy mouth, and it was like, what?
That sounds terrifying.
Like, it was kind of like the little fluffy things that Pidge ran into.
Oh, see,
yeah,
I couldn't
episode.
Have eaten one of those. Yeah. That would have felt horrible.
It's sort of like,
I would imagine that if you stuck a fork in one of those, yeah. it would deflate.
Yeah, but totally.
Totally.
And we've already broken Alexis. Take a shot, everyone.
It's totally.
It is not too.
They're there. Oh, it's
all
okay.
Right, we should swing into this. Let's talk about the mall, you guys.
Let's go to the
yeah.
Space Mall.
Yeah.
Yes.
This was one
oh,
of
yeah.
my favorite episodes
Me
this
too.
Season.
It felt like an 80s movie.
It really
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
It totally did. And you know why? Because no phones, no communication devices.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's
right.
Like
you. Well, that was the thing was like it really like brought me back to memories of like actually going to the mall as a child when I was old enough to, you know, go
wander
to
off.
The
wander
toy store by myself
dad, yeah.
And go to, you know, Saturday matinee and peruse the anime section.
Yeah.
And but it's at 12:30, meet me by the fountain.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. And man, we had a great fountain at the Danbury Fair Mall where I grew up. Like, you could not miss that thing. So.
I was the Chapel Hills Mall in Colorado. There was a fountain around the elevator.
Yeah, yeah.
In
what?
The middle
what?
Of the mall.
Oh.
You couldn't miss it.
Yeah.
Actually, that makes sense because we actually had the Sherman Oaks Galleria at one point. There was water coming down the elevator. Like,
how
you
many
could
times
touch
was
it.
That mall like redone.
Like three times. Like, it's
unrecognizable.
Yeah. I don't even know what it looks like anymore.
It's if you watch any movies that take place at the gallery or were filmed at the gallery in the 80s, it looks completely differently now. Like, it's not the same place.
Leave it off your Hollywood tour.
Yeah. Definitely.
So we have this mall that was supposed to be a Unilu Swap Moon. So he remembers the markets of years past.
So I was like excited because I'm such a Cowboy Bebop fan that I was like, oh, it's going to look like one of those. No.
It's going to be like out of Serenity.
Yeah. Like, I thought it was going to look kind of dingy and it. No, it looked like a mall that I have, Westfield Mall.
Sparkling. Yeah.
It did look like a Westfield.
Yeah.
It looked cleaner than any mall I've ever seen.
Correct.
Like, I have a lot of fond memories. I lived out in the boonies, so I have a lot of fond memories of like getting to go to the mall. But as an adult, it's like, these places are dirty and filled with all
sorts. But there were like still sort of like remnants of the Unilu there, because like for example, in the chat, the Tay Trash mentions one of my favorite moments, which was Keith getting into a knife fight with the ShamWow.
Vince was having a bad day.
Yeah. I have to say though that my favorite,
and it was the ShamWow.
It really
also was the ShamWow.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I wasn't going to tell you until we were on the show.
Was it actually him?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But a little Easter egg. I actually did some of the ADR, like where they try to take the knife from him, and he's like doing that.
Oh yeah.
Like, I guess they didn't record that when he was in the booth. Yeah. So, you know, when I was in doing ADR for that episode, they said, hey, can you match this and do some sounds for him? And so the fight where Keith's trying to get the knife back and the arms are all going away. Yeah. That's actually me making those sounds.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, and Mizu Daku Game mentions another thing that I really enjoyed about this episode, which was the pirate costumes.
Carmina glasses. I swear Hunk was doing a full Casey Jones
costume. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And Keith was like straight up this beautiful combination of Captain Harlock and Char Aznable.
Yes,
oh my
gosh.
Amazing.
Yeah. It was good.
DBZ shoulder pads.
Captain Harlock kind of has big shoulder pads like that.
That's
too.
True.
But
that's
those
true.
Were specifically like the DBZ
shoulder pads. It was like Saiyan armor.
No, I was telling Josh when we were watching it that I was like, I really want people to cosplay as pirate paladins.
Yeah. I'm sure they will.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. Cannibalize the other cosplays that you have in your closet.
Yeah.
Mm. It's so funny the expectations, because you expect, based on Karan's description, that like this, it's gonna be a rough and tumble, and it's just so fun to see them in their get-ups in this fluorescent white mall with immaculate floors.
With the mall music playing.
Yeah. It's like when I was at the Mall of America once, we were in Minnesota.
Yep.
And there must have been a convention going on nearby, because I'm sitting there with my parents and like five people in cosplay come sit down and I'm like, where did you come from? I wanna go there. And my mom's looking at him like, is this what you do when you go to the store?
I think that Chica Knight in the chat asks a very good question. And Josh, I'm going to pose this to you since you are Shiro.
Sure.
Chica Knight wants to know, what would Shiro have been doing if he joined in on the mall shenanigans instead of, you know, spent time in the astral plane trying to bond with the Black Lion?
You know what? He probably just would have been checking out some of the stores.
I know, yeah.
Herding cats.
I was going to say, he's
Yeah, find the pet store at the movie.
Yes!
Literally herding cats.
Yeah. Well, I'll be okay.
Petting the 10-legged kittens.
Yeah. Probably join Hunk at the food court.
Can you imagine if they both got stuck doing dishes?
Because I could definitely see that going down, where it's like Hunk has gotten himself in trouble, and so like Shiro goes in to try to get him out of trouble, and just winds up getting in the same trouble.
More trouble.
Yes, exactly. But I loved that whole sequence of Hunk in the food court, and how, you know, the robot ends up breaking, and he just becomes the like line order chef.
Yeah.
Rapid Sal was my favorite part of this. That was my favorite part of the mall, was just like, oh my god, that pun and the terrible diner owner who can't cook, and I'm in heaven.
And I could totally see why Hunk would have thought that it was a free sample, because I think all the other ones were.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, he had several free samples.
Yeah, and Rapid Sal's was like the nastiest looking stuff.
Yeah, and it's just like
rubbery.
It sounds like a scam based on like the fact that everybody else is giving out free samples.
Right.
But we get a little bit of this last season, but this episode did a wonderful job in terms of humanizing the Galera.
Yeah.
Because we've seen Ulaz, but like who's ostensibly good, you know, as far as our heroes know, but like
we haven't seen any civilians. We've seen a board guard, but sure. These are the first, like, this Verpet Sal is the first civilian Galra that we've seen, mm-hmm. and he is hysterical. And then we have the security guard.
Varkon.
I love Varkon, our Paul Blart.
He does. Varkon.
He totally was. What's killing me was days before I saw this, I follow Neil Kaplan on Twitter, and people just kept tweeting him that poster and saying, where can I get one? And I'm like, I know this is a spoiler. I don't even care. I'm looking forward to seeing where this poster comes from. Yeah. He has this just sexy Bishonen Zarkon poster in his
pocket. Like with the hero of
the
like
that. Sexy old man.
Stylized writing at the bottom.
Is that something that cape blowing in the wind?
Is that something that Zarkon would have had to sign off on, or is that just something that like
he made in Photoshop?
Yeah, that was absolutely like, created.
Galra PR department.
No, can you imagine a photo shoot for that? That would be insane.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It's been 10,000 years. I'm sure he got bored at some point in his life.
I feel like maybe like once upon a time, like in his paladin days, like that could have they could have had, you know, like
it was formerly
so they just photoshopped L4 out of the picture.
Yeah, the
entire
This was like his hero portrait, guys. Like everyone has their individual hero portraits that's like on their Wikipedia page. Like,
I want that baseball card.
And then of course they're all photoshopped together for the group poster.
Yeah.
Sure. And yeah, they just all everybody else has been taken out.
Mm-hmm. Alphor's hero poster involves the Kamina sunglasses.
I'm sure.
Yep. Oh, like those are his.
Oh, that would be so great.
Is that and our yellow one? The
did we hear Mark just a second ago?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Hey!
I would have to say that I figure he would do anything to find the black lion again. He's like, hey, why don't you just come into this photo booth? This picture will get you closer to the black lion.
This will strengthen your bond.
I miss my ex.
Yeah. Listen, Ali Surrett in the chat says that Hagar totally signed off on it. So Hagar totally signed off on it. So,
yeah. You know, she was just like, fine, if it's good
for
morale. Yeah. Speaking of I miss my ex, we should talk about Shiro's part of this episode.
I know. Okay, so here's the thing. Everyone else is having this like lovely comedic romp through a mall.
Yeah.
Princess Allura is like
she's getting her hair done.
She's like having a total.
She got the mice capades.
Yeah, she's got.
Oh
she's
my
like
God,
legit.
Dinner and a show.
Yeah, she is in a Disney movie. And then Shiro goes on this like really depressing vision quest.
Yeah, basically a drug trip. They never. So this is what gets me because
well, it didn't really
we
start
have,
out depressing. It's kind of strange.
It's true. We're going on a ride.
Yeah,
being kidnapped.
But I have to say, like obviously. You know, going down to the space mall to get, you know, the reflectors that they needed. Like, that was...
The Skulltrite lenses.
Yes, that was very, very important to the plot of the show overall. But it was more of, like, a one-episode thing. Whereas, like, Shiro's story ended up being a huge, like, revelation. I mean, granted, it was confirming a lot of what had already been suggested to be true. But, like, sure. We learned a little more about sort of the history of Zarkon and the Black Lion.
Mm-hmm. And Zarkon helped build the Black Lion. It was
yeah.
a comet that landed on his home planet. Like, that is a hell of a thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And then they wound up in the astral plane. The bit that got me was the whole, if you die in the game, you die for real bit. Like, okay, so if he'd lost this fight, eventually they would go to the Black Lion, which never left the Hangar Bay, and just find Shiro's dead body in there?
Oh, that would have been
now
dark.
That just got depressing.
Yeah.
That would have been it.
Oh, wait, you... Someone's
take
broken.
A shot.
I'm sorry.
Take a shot.
I left the shot glasses
sorry,
elsewhere.
Breaking Alexis is part of the drinking game.
Man.
Because this was a fight in the astral plane, I was wondering, I was like, is this actually how a one-on-one fight with them would transpire? Or, like, are their abilities warped a little bit because they're not physically present?
Oh, my God. Did you see the physics in there?
Yeah,
he was like DBZ physics. There was bouncing and
it was
continual
like football
sliding.
Passing to yourself. Like he would hit Shiro and Shiro would go flying and then he'd teleport.
Dang.
Zarkon would teleport himself, not really teleport himself, just go really
fast.
He
was
fast
just very, very
hit him
fast.
When he, on the other side. It was crazy.
Yeah. There's no way that was IRL physics.
Yeah.
Just no.
Peter Aguilar in the chat asks a very mean question. Does anyone else think Shiro's future is going to be darker than Madoka Magica? Don't go there, bro. Don't go there.
Whoa.
It is.
Whoa!
It's kind of
that's
really hard to be. Wow, that's a high bar.
Unless Shiro's in like a time loop and building up all of his magical girl potential.
We're not going to talk about spoilers. And guys, we're not talking spoilers beyond these two episodes.
That is true. That
usual
is true.
Policies apply. Nothing beyond episode 8. Please keep the comments spoiler free. Like, we're trying to be good about this in case anyone has an incredible amount of self-control and is watching along with the after shows. No, we just got a tweet from Legit Opal, who has been following this show and our Transformers show for years now. And is a lovely human being.
God,
just put an I miss my ex Photoshop up here, and it's a Photoshop of that scene of Wolverine lying in bed looking at a picture, but it's Zarkon and the picture's on the black line.
Oh my god. That is beautiful.
It's in the hashtag.
No, share it. That is
beautiful. With the people who are here.
Yeah.
It's in the hashtag. Just yep.
It's so beautiful.
So good. Oh, that's great.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Thank you, Legit Opal. You are a good person.
And
people say nice things about
you. Again, this is one of those things where obsession wasn't, like, talking about how much this show has, like, improved upon the source material, the Zarkon of yesteryear, he wanted to destroy things and rule the galaxy, but it was pretty one note.
Yes.
Giving this character this obsession, and the history behind it, too, just the bits that we can glean, adds an entirely different layer of depth.
It really does, and also, you know, something that we mentioned in the previous episode was seeing his sort of conflict with Hagar from the point of view that, you know, they were in a position wherein they could have easily taken down the castle because Allura was by herself and everybody else had, you know, gone off to try to, you know, stop the Galra ship. But because Zarkon is so obsessed with the Black Lion, like, he didn't take that opportunity.
And he's stalking his ex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
he's got everything except that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And that is, that's a discussion that I think we're going to have a little later on in the season, because this is a line that's going to develop.
Absolutely.
But he's the kind of person who wants power. And he had what was this, not, I wouldn't, bleh. Wow. I had one shot of whiskey tonight, guys, and that's it.
Just one?
Yeah, just one.
Okay.
I'm going to fix that after this.
We should have had several based on our drinking game, but
correct.
Not on the air. Yeah. Not on this show. But he essentially had incredible power as the Paladin of the Black Lion and as the head of Voltron, and that's the bit that got away.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't lose. I can't lose this. This is the bit of power that's been out of my grasp. I need that. To the exclusion of
everything else, including
his common sense.
Yeah, totally.
I have the galaxy, but I really want that toy that used to be mine.
Yeah. The kid took it.
It's like, buddy, you gave it to space.
Exactly.
You gave it to space.
Because, I mean, after
10,000
years, you kind of set up a machine, and it's kind of running itself at this point. Now you want your toys.
Mm-hmm. And like when you grow up with something, and you're like, I'm really nostalgic from that toy from the 80s, and then it's like $3,000 on eBay.
Oh,
is this the equivalent of a Gara midlife crisis?
Yes.
Menopause, midlife crisis. What's happening?
Implying he'll live for another 10,000 years.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I don't want it.
But it's interesting, too, because there's no, like, wise voice to sort of kind of guide our characters through this right now, because this is uncharted territory. No two paladins have ever had claim on the same lion at the same time, so nobody knows what to do.
And it's interesting to see this discussion, because at the beginning you have Shiro going, you need to start listening to me, oh my god, why? And then by the end, it's no one controls the Black Lion. It's not about power. It's about respect.
Yeah.
And that's when the Black Lion kind of goes, see, that's what I wanted to hear the whole time. You can leave
now.
I'm done making my point.
There's probably a little bit of fear in Shiro because he thought maybe this is now under Zarkon's control.
Well, like, yeah.
He's
and
just not acting.
Exactly. And I mean, this is the first episode. At the end of the last episode is basically where it's revealed, like, no, paladins and their lions are connected to each other from a long, long, long way away. And so, you know, at this point, Shiro knows more or less for sure that they are being tracked through the Black Lion. So it's like he's dealing with those repercussions and the question of, am I worthy?
Yeah.
Well, and in his mind, too, he's probably already worked out, because of the beginning of the season when he was potentially mortally injured, he's probably already worked out worst-case scenarios, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in the next episode, but he's already sort of pictured a scenario in which he's not the pilot of the Black Lion, yes. And that's probably also affecting his bond as well, because he's like, it's not going to be mine forever. Like, this could change at any moment.
Sure. Sure.
He's gotten a glimpse from the other side of the fourth wall and seen all the death flags that the writers have put on. Just like, oh, man.
Go back.
I should get a lawyer.
Can I take out space life insurance?
Where would one go for that? Probably
not small.
Yeah, like small.
There's an Oonaloo that can do that, yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back to the mall for a little bit.
Yeah, let's go back.
Let's go to the mall, everybody. Let's talk about Lance and Pidge. Let's talk about Carlton Ecker.
Here's the thing. If Cheryl had gone to the mall with them, they never would have been allowed to steal money from children. That's true.
I just couldn't believe that they were actually doing that. I was just like, what's happening?
Yeah, that last one was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The stuff that's already in there. It's like, okay.
Yeah, but don't take it from the kid who's trying to make a wish.
Stolen his wit.
Lance has ambiguous morals.
He does.
And when Pidge gets stuck on something, she just goes.
Yeah.
So the Venn diagram overlap of that is not pretty.
No.
And that's where we were this episode. Square in that overlap and in the fountain.
Well, that's why I love that we had Bex in last week, because the fact that just hearing her fangirl over this console in that way, it was just kind of nice because we got to see her fangirl about the entire show and us talking about terrible things breaking her. Yeah. So, yeah.
Bex is Pidge.
Yeah, she really is, though.
She's incredible.
Yeah, I loved the specifics of the gaming system that they wanted to get, that it was like the narrowly disguised Nintendo.
Yes.
It was like finding a mint Dreamcast in a box.
It was kind of Dreamcast-y, but it had the power glove.
Oh, man.
I think I wrote down what it was called somewhere. Killbot Phantasm 1, the Mercury Game Flux 2.
Yep.
So beautiful. Yep.
Heywood Wong wanted to know, Josh, if you were the voice of Carlton Ecker.
No. No, I was not. That would have been awesome.
I know.
Although, we don't... somebody... I forget who brought this up, but, like, we don't see Carlton Ecker in the next episode.
I know. What happened?
What happened to that cow?
Hunk's been yearning for some earth food. That's
Yeah. Well, we're not even sure that it was a real cow. It was on a hover platform. How do we know?
Yeah.
It may not have been an actual cow. That might have been a plastic cow.
I was going to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think it was an actual cow.
Me either.
I thought it was like an electronic cow, and they probably just... you know, didn't have the power cord to recharge it. So
it's in a storage closet.
Yeah. See, I was on the opposite, where I really hope that it is a real cow, and then we'll just get back to it later, where Lance is just, like, milking it or something.
What I'm wondering is, like, the shop owner said that every purchase gets a free Carlton Ecker. So does he have, like, a warehouse back there with just tons of cattle?
Yeah, it's like,
he's also said that no one ever buys his stuff, so this might have been his first sale.
That was one of the saddest moments of this episode when, you know, Pidge, like, has the freak out over the gaming system, and she's like, don't sell that. And they, like, run away to go steal money from children. And she's like, and the clerk is basically like, don't worry, I never sell anything.
So did we notice that his design was basically the stereotypical little green man design?
Yeah. He was the Roswell.
And he was wearing an Area 51 hat.
Yeah. I loved that. That was my favorite part of the entire episode. I was just like, meh.
And I will
Somewhere
say...
Somewhere Mulder's going crazy.
No, yeah.
Just at the end with the whole, let's unpack the game system, let's put it together. Oh, God, the AV cords don't match. And I'm like... your laptop can hook up to Galra technology. You can figure out an AA adapter.
Whoa. Thank you. I was really hoping you were going to do that.
I didn't catch up.
X-Files.
Oh, okay. I was missing one hit.
We're at the FBI headquarters, and there are pictures of Carlton Ecker, and Wilder's like, I want to believe.
Having a Z Nation moment. But yeah, like that was the one bit that's like, okay, you're a tech genius, and you've hooked your laptop up to literally alien technology.
Yes, but
you
she can wanted
figure
to
out
play
an
right
AV
now.
Adapter.
She wanted to play right now.
Yeah, but it is a little confusing to me that she doesn't have like an AV, just regular
yeah.
adapter.
She could
okay, you know what? I gotta weigh on this. I'm usually one of the most prepared people on the planet. Like, if you
yeah.
go to my house, I have like tons of extra batteries, and I have like every kind of tool you can imagine. I went to your. I was in a boy band in the 90s. So
we no.
Were on tour, yeah.
Which
we
one?
Really?
We were on tour in Europe, and I brought my. Was it a Dreamcast? No, it wasn't a Dreamcast.
Super Nintendo.
Sega Saturn.
It was an N64. It was an N64 because we were playing Aww. GoldenEye.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
You were bonding.
We were bonding, and I brought that with me to Europe. And in Europe, they don't use RCA connectors. They use SCART connectors. And I did not have
no.
a SCART connector.
Okay.
And
yeah, okay.
So I was going everywhere outside of the hotel. And I mean, right outside of the hotel, where are you going to find a SCART connector? Mm. That, you have to go to a really specialized place
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, right.
And like,
especially
I didn't know where a Radio Shack was.
Yeah. Yeah.
All Radio Shack.
Well, and not to mention, like, you have to get an adapter to even plug it into the
yeah,
wall.
Yeah, I had that. Oh, yeah. I didn't have a SCART connector.
Oh,
so I know this pain firsthand.
That
it's
is
like,
yours.
Yeah, I could find it, but I wanted to play right now.
I expect her to build one. Like,
yeah.
sometime in the mythical season 3, should it exist,
yeah.
I expect to see her playing it with the power glove.
It
she
takes
definitely
so
will.
Bad.
It takes time to solder wires together.
Mm-hmm.
She hooked her laptop up to Gala technology.
It was an HDMI port.
That's what I was thinking. They sell them at the space ball. It's at fries.
Right.
Yep.
Space fries.
Yep. You know space that fries. The space fries has an Earth theme because it's just so weird.
Oh, yes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for everyone who is not in Southern California and going, what the hell are you? Fries is an electronics
it's
chain.
It's amazing.
Where
yeah.
every brick and mortar store has a different theme. Like, there's one that has a Lewis Carroll theme that has
yeah.
a Jabberwocky hanging from the ceiling and Alice in Wonderland stuff everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The one near where I am has an alien theme. There's this flying saucer crashed in the front. There's
yeah.
giant ants. There's a giant squid at one point.
It's super, yeah, it's
weird.
It's a like B sci-fi movie
yeah.
theme.
Yeah.
The one by my house is steampunk.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And these things
Vegas
are the size of your average
casinos.
Sam's Club. Fries is huge.
Yeah.
It's
so,
huge.
Josh, since you mentioned your boy band past, chat has been fantasizing about a Voltron AU where they are all in a boy band, which I think would
be
wonderful.
That'd
be
hilarious.
Check
it
out. I'm sure it exists.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love a musical episode. And you know what?
Oh,
like,
man, that'd be rad.
I need it in my life.
Lauren, I guess, saw some of the I've been posting just some random singing in the car videos.
Right.
Yes.
I guess somebody had said something to her, and then they were mentioning that Jeremy also sings, and I think Steven sings.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we need to have a musical episode.
Yeah.
Think, you know, Jeez. if things go well and we have more episodes, I think Lauren wants to hopefully
please make that a reality.
So put it out there.
And then
Jet
33 says, Josh, it was you that broke up NSYNC, wasn't it?
I'll never tell.
What band were you in, dude?
It was called No Authority. We
yeah.
were on.
Oh yeah,
my
No Authority. Season.
No.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I listen to it. I'm that lame-o. Yes.
So, yeah, we have.
So
there's
much.
A video if everybody wants to see me like as a pouting teenager. don't stop is the song.
Yep.
So,
perfect.
It's on YouTube.
Yep.
Awesome. But yeah, absolutely.
There you go, guys. Have a good time.
If there's a way to formally request a musical episode,
yeah,
I would love
awesome.
To submit the formal request.
Seconded.
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
I would
pass.
Totally support it.
Yeah. All right, well, the motion has been passed. Now we have to do it.
Yay!
Passed, seconded, thirded, fourth.
Yeah.
Approved. Gavel.
Thank you, Mabel. So we have stealing food from a crooked chef. We
mm-hmm.
have stealing money from children.
Yep.
Let's move on to not actually stealing a knife and talk about Keith.
Yeah.
Poor Keith and his backstory quest. And we're really going to get into this with the next episode
yes.
because, damn.
Yeah. Keith,
for real.
Well, he
finds the chef.
Yeah.
Finds Vince.
Okay, so to me, like, okay, Keith clearly, like, needs to go to a mall more often. Because, like, why would you ask the guy who's clearly demoing some, like, you can order it on TV with this 1-800 number knife
it
about...
It slices. It dices.
I wrote down at one point, I need to find what he said.
I did love that he was like, how often is it that you need to fight a raging rock monster and then immediately go to a picnic?
How many times have you had to fight off a charging rock monster and then go straight to a picnic? All the time, right? How many takes did that take?
Probably not, because it was a ShamWow guy.
Right. Yeah, he was on autopilot.
Yeah. We don't know what a typical space Saturday is like. That's true.
That's very true.
Sounds like a terrible time.
I mean, remember the episode with the learning the
learning Altair.
They looked vicious.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if that's if there's a safety on your language program and your language program can possibly kill you, I mean, this is probably a much
that
more
is,
warlike
the,
people.
That is true. Hate. That's true.
And the default to your safety is off.
Right.
So Sopri, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong, in the chat says, don't let Keith discover Hot Topic.
That's why I was
in unison, same pitch, you guys.
Keith's on his emo life quest right now.
Then he'll just turn into Lance from Symbionic Titan.
Yeah.
I want it so bad.
No one understands me.
Oh, man.
This man just gets me.
That's not where Shiro gets his eyeliner either.
No, that comes from Nyx. Check AO3. I'm sure it exists.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
I know it's
amazing.
An unpopular opinion, but I don't think Shiro wears eyeliner. I know nobody wants to
he just
that,
woke up like this.
I mean, it's the shape of his eye. His long eyelashes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, my son has crazy long
I was going to say, I know so many men who have, like, beautiful eyelashes, so I personally agree. I never thought that Shiro was wearing
And the way I
eyeliner.
Think about it is, like, he's always prepared for everything, so why would he risk being, you know, at a disadvantage in a fight by having something that can smear or smudge or get, you know, just getting his eyes and his vision, and I mean, he thinks out everything.
Yeah.
I don't think he would do that.
Or it's waterproof.
I'm sorry, internet.
It was tattooed on years ago.
Yeah, but it might not be water that dissolves it.
No, you're
some
right.
weird space goop that gets in there.
Oh, yeah. No, you have a point. Touche, sir. Yeah. Touche.
So good.
I love the one on makeup.
But I'm sorry, internet. I know you all want to have. You know, eyeliner Shiro.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that disagree with you in the chat.
Well,
but, you know,
okay.
It is what
they're
it
allowed
is.
To have opinions.
Yeah. You know what? If you guys want to do your Shiro cosplay with lots of eyeliner,
do
that
it.
Is totally
I think
do
a Shiro
it.
Cosplay
okay.
would probably require eyeliner.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, because you don't. Not everybody has Shiro-shaped eyes.
That's
so
correct.
If you want to have that, then you got to do the eyeliner.
There you go, guys. That's we true. Can't all have perfect eyelashes.
That's true.
And those who do don't appreciate them, I think.
Yeah.
Your eyelashes are beautiful. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But poor Keith just ends up having a terrible time with Mr. ShamWow.
I'll give you 1,000. I'll give you 2,000. I'll let you live.
Yeah.
Hashtag poor Keith.
He is. He couldn't. They'd have no money.
That's
literally
true.
Poor.
But it goes to show that, like, all we know about it is that these types of blades are held by people from the blade of Marmora. Thank you.
It's on the board right up there.
I couldn't see it from here. I was going to say Mamoru, and I'm like, that's not right.
No, he has roses. Yeah. You get it right.
Different thing entirely.
Only in certain incarnations.
Second tuxedo mask reference of the night,
but
you guys.
From this, we're
this
looking
why
at
I want
it.
My Sailor Moon shirt.
Hey. We know that these blades are valuable because this guy immediately wants to get his hands on it.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, he also said that the material that it's made of, the planet that it was mined from, hasn't been around for decaphebes?
That can't be good.
Whatever
so
the
that
hell
mean,
that is.
So does that mean that the original... Does that mean that the original... granted, like, the Galra have an empire, but if this... is that kind of inferring that, like, the original planet of the Galra has been destroyed in some way?
Mm. Well, I
wouldn't go with
that. Didn't we see in the sort of bonding astral plane flashback
that
Zarkon's home planet got destroyed? But I don't know.
Because I was going to say, I don't really think Galra are all from just one planet. I'm assuming there's probably different planets because there's different types of Galra.
Well, because it's the whole, it's the Galra Empire.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it is interesting though, because that I think certainly implies, particularly because we saw that flashback in the same episode, that perhaps the material to make these blades was mined from that planet.
That makes sense.
That's not a connection I drew, but I honestly think that it would have come from a planet that was completely destroyed, obliterated. Can't even put someone down there on a spacesuit to do some mining, because that one had a fair few holes in it. But if you were crazy enough, you could still land a ship and do some mining.
Sure.
Like, unless I just it was mined out.
Yeah.
That's also
pretty desolate. Although, something we didn't touch on is the potential that we see in the Black Lion here. It has a power-up. Like, with wings. A beautiful little Gundam wing.
Full-on Gundam wings there. Yeah.
So that was happy. Like some Wing Zero action.
It was so great.
I'm going to reference every anime ever on this episode.
It's like, you have powers I haven't unlocked. And I'm like, buddy, you don't have a Bayard.
Like, let's, he doesn't. Yeah.
He doesn't. And that's kind of the insert key turn knob thing.
Yeah. It's not like a Prius. You can't just hit a button. You still need a key for it.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Yep.
But,
Yeah, good lord. So, that did not work out well for Keith at all. And just the chase scene with all of them on Carlton Ecker and Varkon.
Varkon.
Although, I do want Repitzal to come back.
I do, too. I
want him to open up a chain, and I want him to approach Hunk with a business deal and be like, we need you to be our head chef. Like, you to be our head chef.
It's like a side job.
My dearest wish in this series for later on down the line, again, provided that we get 5 seasons or 6 seasons,
yes,
God knows how many, is that we get an episode later on down the line where it's a whole bunch of the side characters that we've met, where it's Roland and Naima, where it's some of the Balmerans, where it's all of these people whose lives they've affected coming together to form their own resistance.
Mm-hmm. Ultron's version of the Tales of Ba Sing Se.
Yes.
Yeah.
Take a drink.
Because we have this top-level alliance with the Blade of Marmora and with these planets that they're saving as a whole. And that's kind of the big, we have structure, we have power, we have means. But I want to see the grassroots alliance from all the people that they have personally affected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I want that in my life.
I think we talked about that last season, too, how we wanted, like a huge rebel alliance.
We did. I still want that in my life.
Yeah,
it has not changed. It has only grown stronger with every episode.
Yes.
I'm into it.
I'm down.
Yeah,
it would be great.
Well, and
I mean, we're...
Not
Blade
of Mimosa?
That's what someone said in the chat.
sorry.
The chat is going crazy.
They
with
are. There's a lot
of
different names.
The Blade of Mon Mothma.
I didn't mean to.
Blade of Phenomena.
Blade of Mothra.
Yeah, Blade of Mothra was in there. Blade of Moon Moon.
Yeah, my favorite.
Who invited Moon Moon?
Yeah, someone's like, what was it? Oh no, where did it go? Dang it, who didn't sharpen Moon Moon?
Blade of Moana.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but what I was going to say is that as we begin to see in the next episode that we're talking about on this episode of the podcast, after show, what have you, is that there are allies out there, and we're just continuing to gain more allies. And in this case, we're finally getting some, like, really capable fighters that, like, have a plan in place where they're like, we gotta, like, it's bad. We gotta fix the universe.
Yeah.
Literally now.
So, before we move on to that episode, I think the last thing I want to hit on here is Karan.
Aww.
Finding his little old-fashioned shop in the corner of nowhere, and this bartering that happened.
Haggling is the best!
No, seriously.
That was my favorite part of the episode.
Yeah. I have a bit of pocket lint. How about your firstborn child? This little thing. Oh, I'll take your left foot! Be my butler for a year.
You take IOUs, right?
And then just offering
it
him.
It just
the...
seems like they never even meant that was what was going to be traded. It was just like formalities.
It was the game.
And just say this and this and this.
And like, I love that the alien yak back was what did it.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Talk about like not wasting anything too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. I bet this guy hasn't actually properly haggled with anybody in a long time.
Sure.
Because Karan says, "Oh, coasters," and he's like, "Yeah, probably." Things.
These antique glass table toppers.
And the little girl that worked at the mall didn't even know about that.
Oh my god, that girl at the mall was amazing. She was one of my favorite parts
of
the episode.
You know who that was?
Was it Kree Summer?
No?
Oh, was it really?
It was Princess Allura.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she was awesome. Great. She has like such a range in her voice that I was like, it was probably her because, you know, she just had a couple of lines. So
that was great.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, admittedly, Karan wasn't asking for a traditional Unilu shop. He was, where's the black market? Here's a bribe. She's like, I'm not paid enough
but
for this.
Best face?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. That was the best part.
Oh, it's King Gregory, the infirm.
Yep.
So does he, is that like...
Is there a King the Firm? I mean,
Do we want to know?
Did he just grab the equivalent of Altaian Monopoly money to throw at people at the black market? Yes. Was that his plan?
It's probably 10,000 years out of date. I mean, no one takes wooden beaver nickels anymore.
No. But that's probably really, really valuable now. I mean, you can't get that anymore.
Yeah,
she would not that. That she knew that.
Exactly. Currency from an extinct civilization would probably be a pretty big collector's item.
That would be true.
Yeah, he probably could have just been like, hey, I'll give you some Altaian money.
Yeah, that's probably what he should have said.
Yep.
Bartering.
Yep.
It's just, God, reminds me of Egypt. God bless.
I'm really bad at it.
I'm really good at it.
I am an angry human being when you get me bartering. We had a code.
Oh, God. I'm excited and also scared.
We had a code. If we were bartering and it wasn't going anywhere, someone would come up, and if it was actually time to leave the shop, they'd say, hey, it's time to leave. And if it was, we're going to pretend like we're leaving to get them to drive the price down, it was, we need to go. And so, it worked.
Dang.
More than once.
The buddy system.
I love that buddy system.
Katie's part of like a secret like underground bartering team.
I read a lot.
You don't talk about barter clubs.
That's number one rule.
I just read a lot.
No, I love it.
So we should probably move on.
We should. We need to talk about the Blade of Marmora because we had this really, really funny episode that was half heavy, and now this whole episode just like,
downer.
Pretty
intense.
That
was the whole point. It was just be like, look how cute this is, and also,
let me just staple my heart back in my chest here. That was, So we head to the Blade of Marmora headquarters because we finally managed to shake Zarkon. Finally, the creepy ex, we moved to a different zip code. He has to work harder to try to stalk us, so we're good for
now.
It's
going to take a while to find the new cell phone number.
Exactly. Yeah.
Still can't seem to get that restraining order.
It's going to be a while.
Well, when your ex is basically Caesar of this empire.
That's true.
True.
No, Caesar of this empire.
Oh, I heard Caesar Senpai. Sorry,
oh
guys.
My God, I was totally gonna call
it kind of works.
No, that's what Varkon called him.
There you go.
Emma said she would reference any anime. Now she's just making
selective anime here.
They should write that.
I do.
It's like a terrible Italia reference.
I love this.
Notice me, Caesar Senpai. Oh, and then on the 15th episode, it ends.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
That's going to be added to the drinking game next season. It's like anytime Emma has selective anime hearing.
Oh, so, this list is going to get long.
All the time.
Anyway.
We should just drink throughout
the
show.
Listen, we did get...
I'll make Sendex on ice and I'll bring him next time.
We did get one nice comedic moment with Karan at the beginning of the episode when they see the black hole and they're like, is that a black hole? And he's like, don't be ridiculous. That's two black holes.
And a blue sun in the middle because overkill is evidently not a thing for the Blade of Marmora.
Nope.
Yeah. But these guys, I'm assuming they've been around almost as long as the Empire has.
I would think
because I think once we got to the point where he was wiping out planets, there were people who kind of went... Oh, God. We were okay with the wall, and we were okay with the immigration order, but this is, guys?
Yeah. I really want to make the universe better.
Anyone who's not purple needs to leave the country.
Oh, God. Too real.
Yep.
That's upsetting.
That moment when the media that was written 3 or 4 years ago is just horribly, horribly relevant today.
We could go on about how
sadly
like,
that's also
going to
be another part of the drinking game.
we could go on and on about how uncomfortable it is. But point being is that we still aren't 100% sure if we can trust this group of resistance fighters.
Sure.
Even if they're not with Zarkon, they might have their own agenda.
Absolutely.
And to me, I think they've almost hit like cultish status.
Probably.
Because they're all dressed the same. They all have same or similar mannerisms. Every single one of them has one of these very rare blades. They cannot believe that one of them would have wound up on Earth for any reason ever. You must have stolen it. Who did you take it from?
They are terrible hosts.
They seem extremely...
not hospitable at all.
This is like if Scientology were competent and also on crack.
See, I saw them more...
More crack.
Maybe...
No.
I saw them more as like a very sort of, you know, like strict, like secret order of monks. You know what I mean? Like, like very serious, like secret warriors.
Yeah. So just
one, half a dozen of them.
I'm very curious though. This test that Keith has to undergo.
Oh my God.
Is that typically how it goes? I imagine every person has to unlock the blade differently.
Yeah.
But like, for the Galra, do they just keep throwing opponents at a person until they have whatever realization they need to have? Or
knowledge or death?
I guess.
I wonder if that's not it.
But they told him every time, you're not meant to go through that door.
That is true.
And then he went through a different door, and they're like, no, that's not what we meant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're not meant to go through that door, or that one, or that one. Seriously, we tell you every single time.
And they just keep...
Doors?
And they just keep multiplying every single time he goes through the door. So it's like, okay, obviously this is not working.
When he got out of there, there were 7 combatants.
Yeah.
Things I do, count the holes in the floor.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Now, Josh, you got to play the, like, kind of...
Hallucination show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who was not quite
a good human being.
Yeah, I was going to say, not quite as nice and Space Dad-esque as regular Shiro.
Sure.
Did you, like, have a little fun getting to be sort of evil?
Yeah, I mean, it was... Absolutely. It's a different side of Shiro that isn't really... I mean, it's not really Shiro. It's Keith's perception of like, what the worst, I guess. Because you really kind of get an insight into what his biggest fears are, and it's being alone.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's constantly scared that he's going to do something or say something wrong and he's going to lose Shiro.
Yeah.
Yeah, being told
he lost Shiro once already.
Yeah.
For year, and that's probably why he got kicked out of the garrison.
Mhm. Yeah, and being told he's selfish for just wanting to find out more about himself and about his past and where he comes from because
we know that he knew his dad because he recognized his dad.
Yes.
We don't know that he ever knew his mom.
Yeah.
We're not sure one way or another.
Right.
And this also, I like the strange implication that, yes, there are female Galra because when we had, oh my God, what's her name? Hagar in interrogating Thace, there was, oh, well, I trust you now. We will find him. Like, have we ever seen a female Galra ever?
Dun, dun, dun.
How do you work?
Yeah, I don't think we've really seen them in the show, but we've certainly... it's certainly implied that they exist.
It's certainly implied that, Keith's mother is Galra. They, you know, obviously there are no concrete answers. All we know is that he happens to be... By the end of this episode, is that he happens to be part Galra.
Right.
The implication being that his mother is Galra, but she might have just been part Galra. We don't know.
See, might have been a descendant.
See,
I have no idea.
I'm being silly and thinking because even though Keith is half Galra and everything, but like we can also think that maybe the dad could be half Galra also.
This is me just obviously playing devil's advocate.
We don't know how long ago the blue lion got to Earth. We don't know who brought it.
Yeah.
We assume it was someone from the Blade of Marmora and that he settled, I guess.
Yeah.
There will always be someone who will marry a purple fuzzy guy. Let's be completely real.
Well,
or gal.
That's true.
Yeah.
Shapeshifted
herself into.
They established early on that Altaians have the ability to sort of change their appearance to meet their environment.
Yeah,
but I was just thinking, like, if the blue lion came to Earth generations ago,
then
it could be very much diluted, and the blade passed down.
Sure, absolutely,
and
Keith's mother could have been descended from whoever the pilot of the blue lion was at the time.
True.
Yeah,
that's my theory.
No, I think it's a great theory.
So we don't know yet.
Yeah,
we don't know if we'll ever know.
Yeah.
Well, and not to mention that he's already got all these insecurities too. Not only, you know, there's all this self-doubt. But also Shiro keeps going like, hey, you're going to be the pilot of the Black Lion
someday. That's a lot of pressure.
Huh. What is that about?
Nothing's going to happen to you. Well, I don't know about that. Yeah. We are in a war.
You're not helping right now.
He's just super chill about his own death.
Yep.
I mean, you kind of have to be at that point. Faced it so many times. It's. He was locked up for a year, and he's been through a lot. At that point, you're probably always assuming that your death is right around the corner.
Yeah.
Well, death is everywhere. Grandpa, that's the cat.
Yep. Death stalks you at every turn.
Well, I'm sorry.
But yeah, this whole episode does very much focus on this relationship, and again, like, kind of seeing Keith's biological dad in this episode.
Yeah.
Seeing that he's obviously a hallucination here, what are the odds that he's actually still alive on Earth, or that he's been
slain? I'm gonna say zero on that one.
You think he's still alive?
No, not at all.
Oh, like, zero chance. Like zero chance that he's alive.
I'm gonna say that both of Keith's parents are dead or in some capacity gone. Yeah. He was old enough to know them and be able to remember their faces when he lost them, but at some point he did lose them.
Yeah.
Because there's a heavy implication that Shiro was the only person in his life for a good chunk of time. Yeah. And then Shiro went to one of Pluto's moons and then disappeared off the face of the planet. And he's not coming back. Bye-bye. So.
No. Well, no.
So for the second or third time in his life, he's alone again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Like I said, I'm just going to staple my heart back in my chest here. Like,
But did you guys like, though, that, like, it was letting go and saying, hey, you know, we need all the help we can get.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay letting go.
It was a very, very mature thing.
It was. Yeah. I liked the, you know, the moment that, because one of the things that, you know, Shiro was kind of trying to drive home with Keith was the idea of, like, we're your family. Like, you don't need to know about yourself. And, like, from that perspective, the stuff that, like, you know, Phantom Vision Shiro was saying was relevant and ultimately, I think, influenced Keith's decision in a good way that ended up allowing him to unlock the power of the blade, which is, like, it's that whole question of sort of the, like, who is your family? Is it, you know, the people who biologically, like, created and gave birth to you? Or is it, like, the people who raised you and were in your life and love you and care about you? And ultimately, like, that's the choice that Keith makes.
Found family over biological.
Yeah.
And I love that just the series of choices. It was him getting the daylights beaten out of him. Doesn't faze him. Don't care. Doesn't care about himself, whatever. Shiro rejecting him was so much harder, and he almost goes back on it there at the end, but he was still able to do that.
Yeah.
The Galra invading Earth, all bets are off.
Yep. Yeah,
I am no longer important. This is an entire planet at stake. This is my species. I can't stay. This requires... I am a paladin. This is my responsibility. Yeah. I gotta go do the thing. I love you, Dad. Bye.
And that's probably the knowledge that the Blade of Marmora really wanted from them, where it's not about you, where it's about this mission and this movement and about defeating the Galra.
It's
more faceless. I mean, they're all faceless. If
Ulaz's sacrifice is any indication, it's a group that definitely values the sake of the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
They didn't even think, Ulaz didn't even think twice before he sacrificed.
Nope, he's like, you're more important. Done. That's the way it goes.
I'll take out MODOK. You get to the base.
MODOK. Absolutely looked like MODOK. But that Robeast was creepy, man.
Super, like, weird.
Just silently floating around.
And it's like, it's all face of the Roomba.
That's what it was. It's like a death Roomba.
Have you seen Roomba fights?
No.
Where they'll get two Roombas and they'll tape knives to the top of them and then each other. People do Roomba. It's amazing what human beings do when they get bored.
I do weird things with my Roomba. I remember I had a tiny sombrero-looking hat that I would put on the top of it.
Aww.
And I would piss my dog off because my dog wanted that hat. And all I would see was the Roomba going around with the hat on it. So it would go up to it, go up to it, and then the Roomba would move, and he would, like, move back. And then finally he figured out, if I just, like, hover behind it and just bite on it a little and let the Roomba go away from me, I got it.
He had to work out what kind of dog.
He's just mud. He followed me home.
Aww. That sounds adorable.
Have you seen the cat in the shark costume riding on the Roomba?
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Yep.
You need, if you're going to give your Roomba a theme, like a costume theme, I feel like you also need like some musical accompaniment. Like with a little sombrero, you need mariachi music to go with that.
Just tape a little Amazon Echo to the top of it.
Oh my God. No, I love it because my aunt has like a little, like the same thing with the cat and the shark, but except it's like it's been engulfed by it, so it'll walk around and she goes, da-na. it's adorable.
Okay. Okay, so death Roombas.
sorry for the tangent.
That's no.
Have you seen us tonight?
It's allowed.
This show is tangents.
All the time. We are professional adjacent, y'all. Yep.
So true.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, good. We spent the entire time talking about the latter half of it. We do need to talk about getting there because holy cow, that was a hell of a path. Some yellow brick road.
Yeah.
And like, then just not wanting to ally with them. Like, well, Ulaz was a fool.
Yeah.
And you came armed anyway, and we don't like you.
Yeah, which I thought was very interesting, because in my brain I was thinking that they were going to be a little bit, oh, you got to talk to him.
I was going to say, because we saw how sort of easily their little alliance with Ulaz was formed.
Yeah, yeah.
So I understand what you're saying, Alexis, yeah, that you go into it thinking like, oh, awesome, these are the people Ulaz came from. Like, they're right. Going to be on board. Nope.
Yeah.
It threw me off.
For them, they've built this little safe house way in the woods.
Yeah.
And then one day the Mormons come knocking on their door asking if they've heard the good word of Voltron. Like, it's one of those, how did you find me?
But yeah, when the guy who sent you there, like, literally threw away his
major. Yeah, that was great. I love that. Awesome.
Ulaz threw away his life and gave them, you know, directions to get there. You would think that, yeah, everybody else would sort of be a little bit more accommodating or a little bit more welcoming.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Whereas they view it like one of those people who rides a barrel over the edge of Niagara. Well, that was dumb.
Oh, God. Just like, well, yeah, that sounds like something he would do. Yep.
And that's why we put him on the outpost in the middle of a minefield.
Oh. Oh, poor Ulaz.
Yeah.
Although
that being said, We got a little bit of, like, face in this episode, right?
We did! We got to see some interrogations, and I love Hagar going, I will know if you lie. I'm like, no,
oh,
you
yeah.
are wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
So, well, here's the question. Does she know? She might be, like, waiting for him to play his hand and just like, oh, yeah, I do know. But I'm going to wait and see how you do it.
Oh, my God. Well, like, when parents do that, they're like, uh-huh, I already know what you did, but I'm going to see what you do.
Exactly. It's yep. a classic mom move.
And where were you last night?
Studying.
Anything anything you want to tell me, Thais?
Oh, no. Studying with friends, I swear.
And who were those people in the convertible that you were hanging out with?
Open up the little... we didn't lower it down when we were...
No. All right.
You don't keep a thumb drive in your thumbnail or anything like that. You don't just keep a little
what?
No,
literal
that little
teeny
drive.
Literal thumb drive.
I definitely thought that was in his claw for sure. He was just I was just getting a manicure, guys.
it's a charm.
It's just, you know,
it's rhinestones that you put on top of it.
Yeah,
it just plugs in.
You gotta treat yourself.
Yeah.
I just like to feel pretty. I just want to pamper myself every now and then. Being a part of the Galra Empire is really tough.
Yeah, I know it's stressful. You know, I gotta go and just get your nails done. It's just really depressing. It's beautiful.
And being a commander, I mean, you got promoted in wartime, and we all know what happened to that last. We all know what happened to Pro Rock, y'all.
Yeah. So, yeah. Seriously, and all I do is push buttons. I just want my nails to look nice. Okay.
So when I'm finally ready for my close up for the next PR video, it'll be good.
My bloodthirsty list is like at a
right.
3.
Yeah.
What up at a 5?
A good manicure puts it at a 5 for weeks.
Yeah. But yeah, so
6 when one of them breaks.
Personally, either it was completely a bluff on her part, like she didn't actually have magic to be able to do that.
Right.
Or he found a way around the magic, or it did work and she knows exactly that he's lying.
Right, exactly. Well,
there are people who know how to fool lie detector tests.
Yeah. Yeah.
George Costanza.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, from my perspective, she knows, which then is what leads her to go, oh, fantastic. You really don't. Well, you're going to help me find out who it was then. You know what I mean? Like, that is a reaction.
And
she's
I'm
like, going
to post this druid that is never to leave your side.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
He's your bodyguard. Yeah. We are in spoiler territory.
Totally.
Next episode.
Yes. 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 Next time.
Yeah. It's for your safety.
Watching that.
It's for your safety.
And the other thing, the Red Lion.
God bless.
Once we finally had that reveal of, yep, she can go fetch Keith, she's like, I am gonna babysit the hell out of this kid because he cannot take care of himself.
I know.
So much better than Lyft. Like, I need a ride. Thanks. Thank you.
I mean, if your Lyft driver tore apart the hotel you were in looking for, you're sure.
Yeah.
At least you get there on time.
I'm just doing laser tag. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you need to stop the lion. Well, she knows he's in danger and she's freaking out about it, so maybe we should remove him from the situation.
Yeah.
Not hallucinate him to death? That'd be great.
That would be
pretty
great.
Sure he's got a broken everything. We should take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And just watching Shiro watch this and being told these are hallucinations based on what's in his mind, his biggest hopes and fears, what he wants more than anything right now is to see you. It's just like...
Yeah, that was...
And so reading that in the booth and then having to be like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, even just as an actor in the booth reading that stuff, it's when because we get the script the night before,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, I'll be reading the episode that we're gonna record the next day, and it's some of them are they were rough, man. Like, this one especially, because of that, because and especially now as a dad, like I think about stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's well, it has so much more meaning.
And this episode also, we got more of Shiro basically, you know, saying to Keith, like, yeah, I mean, you know, when you have to lead Voltron, if something happens to me, yeah. and that whole conflict of Keith being like, whoa, I don't want to be the leader, not because I don't think that he thinks he's capable of being the leader necessarily, but it's more of a he doesn't want anything to happen to Shiro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
Although here's
Keith being
question.
The leader assumes that we are lacking a Shiro for
yes.
some reason.
Yeah. So. Although I do have a granted they had that moment at the beginning of the season,
right.
but clearly he sees potential in Keith. But at this point in time, I feel like Keith isn't quite qualified yet.
Oh, no,
I
agree
like
with
you. I feel like the princess is way more qualified than
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
But it also makes sense that Shiro would pick Keith because of the fact that they've spent enough time
had,
and
yeah,
they
such a personal connection.
They're bonding with each other. Sure. But, like, it's just... But, like, the fact that it's just... Like, we were talking about it earlier. It's just he sees probably his younger self in there and that he knows that he can do it. He just needs that extra push. But I totally agree that I think Allura would be... perfect for that, but there's also things about Allura that I'm also upset about that I don't want to talk about right now.
Like the racism!
Yeah.
Racism. At the very end of the episode, you can just tell she's just, like, having to choke back.
Yeah.
I don't like it, guys.
I mean, I can understand it because, like, her entire planet.
Yeah, we don't know.
Exactly. These are the people that committed genocide.
Almost complete genocide.
But you spent so much time with him.
I know, but it was also something that, you know, we talked about a little bit on the last episode when, you know, Keith and Allura went on their, like, side quest because they thought that they were the ones that were being tracked, you know, because, and that was Keith dealing with the fact that, like, he was pretty sure he might be part Galra,
right.
and trying to sort of broach that subject with her, and her being like, absolutely not, the Galra are garbage.
and they have a dumpster fire.
Guys. But that, you know, that just because of circumstances, like, no matter, like, even good people have their prejudices, and, you know, I gotta be honest, like, Shiro kind of outed Keith to everybody with the whole,
just a little bit. Yeah, no, it's gonna be interesting to see how that affects their dynamic, for sure.
Speaking of, we have to address this. We have to address this.
Oh,
we have
that.
To address this.
We're
because
talk about
we will get so much flack from everyone if we don't.
I don't know what's happening.
And it is 75% of the comments in our first episode, which, again, guys, we try to keep these spoiler-free, but Shiro, you're like a brother to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have a problem with that.
I had no problem with any of this.
No. No.
But people are using that as ammunition in their ship. They're sending passive-aggressive cakes to each other.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Really?
Too much.
It's a lot, guys.
Too much.
I mean, on one hand, you get a cake, but on the other hand, it's a jerk cake.
So that's the worst kind of cake.
Yeah.
Cake should be used in positivity, y'all. Stop it.
Same like, cake 2017.
I mean, like, these are cakes that say, like, your ship is terrible on top and the icing. It's like, what
y'all,
the hell?
This is too extra, even for me. Like, that's too much. And I'm the blue lion, okay? Just listen to what's happening. Stop it. Here's the cake to eat and love, okay?
So that's, I know that this is one of those things where it's like, oh, they meant it like this, or they meant it like this, so it's this thing. Oh, it kills the ship. Oh, it helps the ship. We're multi-shippers on this show, you guys. We're not committed.
Yeah, I ship everyone with everyone. I'm an equal opportunity ship.
The way one of my brothers put it, he's like, look, I'll ship anybody as long as there's good art.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
That's what was happening in the beginning. I mean, when I kind of coined the name Sheath, like, the show wasn't even out.
People
were already drawing. Like, Tumblr had it all over the place.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So I was just like, all right, Sheath.
Totally. Yeah. So quick.
I'm down.
Chance. Yeah. All right, cool. But, I mean, I hate seeing all the drama that's been happening because it hasn't really affected me at all.
Like,
everybody's been pretty cool about keeping everybody else out of it. But, I mean, can we curse on the show?
You can say anything else except for the F word.
Okay,
like,
don't shit on people.
That's
possible. Yeah. It's just creativity.
Yeah.
Like, no ships are canon.
Yeah, none are.
It's just creativity. And I mean, if people are going to go and start talking about, you know, oh, Shaladin is pedophilia and all this stuff. Well, first of all, learn the definition of pedophilia.
Yeah.
It's
not how that works.
No.
But on the other hand, it's like...
There's just no need for negativity.
It's people's creativity. It's alternate universes. It's not. There's nothing, unless people are actually making ships or writing stories or whatever where you're specifically referring to, oh, you're my teacher and I shouldn't be doing this and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
That's kind of problematic.
That's
weird.
But there's a line, guys, to say that
in somebody's alternate universe the ages don't matter and they're just taking the personalities and shipping those together.
I completely agree. That's totally fine. Yeah.
Don't rob somebody of their creativity. Yeah. Like, I played Hal Jordan in Green Lantern, where he was probably in his like late 20s. Yeah. I also play Hal Jordan in DC Girls, who's in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you could probably ship him with a teenage Supergirl, but that would be totally inappropriate for the other show. But it's an alternate universe with the same character and the same personality traits.
Yeah.
And why is that a problem?
Yeah, and there's also so many universes that you could have all of your ships working together.
The coffee without shop alternate AU universes, is crazy popular.
Without alternate universes, you wouldn't have Voltron Legendary Defender.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have Voltron.
Yeah.
You would have Beast King. And you would have Die Ritter.
Yeah.
So without alternate universes and playing with these things and being creative, you wouldn't have any new art. It would just be rehashes of like one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, man. And some of the vitriol that people go after, it's there's no need for that.
It's like one of the bottom lines for this is just because you enjoy something in fiction doesn't mean you're going to imitate the behavior in real life and doesn't mean that you support the behavior in real life. Everyone likes watching a good drama. Everyone likes watching a good Die Hard movie. That doesn't mean you're going to go into a building and try to take terrorists on by yourself.
Yeah,
it's being unable to draw the line between reality and fiction.
Absolutely.
And the assumption that someone who does something differently than you is also unable to draw that line between reality and fiction.
Sure.
And that's when we start believing
like
that everyone who plays D&D is a cultist.
Don't look at it. You don't have to. Leave it alone. Tumblr, save your existence for a reason. If you're
more of a Clance person, like, you don't have to look at the Sheath art.
You don't.
Yeah, no.
I recommend it all, though. It's great.
I mean, if you're on Tumblr,
if you're on Tumblr savior, Missing E no longer is a thing. God, what's it called? There are so many little apps that you can install in your browser that let you basically block tags and block keywords. I mean, I have the entirety of Hannibal blocked because I got really tired of it once.
That's me.
I'm not going to sit here and be like, Hannibal's terrible, because it's not. My understanding is it's a great show. I'm going to sit here and go, yeah, I don't want that on my dash. Oh, well.
Sure.
Don't have to see it.
Bottom line, I feel like, is... just don't be a jerk. You all clearly like the same show. Focus on, you know, the common ground.
Absolutely. Wheaton's Law, don't be a dick.
Yeah, correct. Just don't be a jerk.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yes, that one. Whoever came up with that is a smart person.
I mean, I quote Will Wheaton, you quote God.
I think we're all this hate out here. But yeah, I feel like there's a lot of hate already in this world with already real people who are living and breathing. Let's try to keep the fictional world out of that.
And at the end of the day, all of these shippers that are fighting about it are still fans of Voltron.
Yeah, so just enjoy Voltron. That's exactly it. Is that it's like it all comes from a place of everyone who is, again, because none of it's canon. So anyone who's like shipping anything and writing fan fiction or doing fan art or drawing comics or whatever, like, it's all for the fun of it, and it's all because everybody loves this universe and wants to explore it more.
It's like another version of people that like have pissing contests about like what's better, PS4 or Xbox.
Exactly. Of course, Ford, Chevy.
They're cars, and I'm a car guy. I have my preferences, but like I'm not gonna go and shit on somebody because they have a car.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I saw you're an asshole because you have this kind of.
I got to talk to some really awesome fans a couple days ago because him and his girlfriend are Lance and Pidge, and they cosplay as them, and of course they're kissing because it's cute. But of course, people who are like Pidge and Lance, and it's just there's just so much hate. And I like, I messaged them, and I was like, "Hey guys, I love your cosplays. You guys look amazing. This and this. I don't have your username, and I'm so sorry that I can't remember off the top of my head." But they messaged me back, and they're like, "Thank you, because we love Voltron, and we want to cosplay it." And I'm like, "Yeah." That's done. Don't be mean, guys.
Cool your jets, Skippy. Yeah. Just cool your jets.
Yeah. Long story short.
We need to get slightly back on topic.
Yes. That needed to be said.
Yes. But these, again, two of the best episodes, I think, the entire season.
And once again, at the end of our second episode, we are swinging back into plot. Mm-hmm. Well, they know about our man on the inside now, so we need to move up our timetable. Till when?
Now, like literally right now.
Like, you know, within the next 30? 2 minutes?
2 hours ago.
Yesterday.
That's what we were trying to do before you showed up with a knife that wasn't yours.
And starting all this drama.
Yeah.
So, if you could help, that would be great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, obviously we're not doing predictions because we have seen all of it.
So, JK, put that away. A little tiny prediction noise.
Now, do we have any final thoughts on these episodes? Do we have any final thoughts on these episodes?
I loved Space Mall.
Yeah, I loved it so much.
I know.
It really made me feel like a kid again, even more than just watching the Voltron cartoon.
Yeah.
Like it really brought back like that 80s movies feel. The whole mall chase, shenanigans.
Yeah, I thought it had a great balance between drama and hilarity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was gonna say that I would like to ask you, Josh, the question that I asked. I've been posing it of everybody actually
like
as of
late. Yeah,
and you,
I was like,
you actually are Shiro. So for me, I liked the old 80s Voltron cartoon as a kid. So, going into it, I thought, though, because in Legendary Defender, they, you know, redid his name and based it, you know, on the character, the actual, you know, Japanese name of the character.
Yes.
I was like, oh, okay, he might have a slightly different fate. were you, like, familiar with 80s Voltron when you went into this?
Kind of.
Okay.
And at the same time, not.
Okay.
Like, I remembered a lot of the visuals.
Sure.
The Robeast fights. I remembered, like, I had just fleeting memories.
Yeah.
Like, the actual big story points, I didn't remember
right.
at all.
So my question is then, being, you know, not necessarily super familiar with the storylines of Voltron, when you, you know,
I've watched it since.
But I was saying, like, but like when you got the scripts for and you know, were auditioning for and cast, et cetera, did you feel like Shiro was super doomed? because I watched the show and I'm like, well, it might be different, but I still think he's gonna die. I didn't see Golion.
So from what I'd seen, Sven goes to the hospital. But I also saw that the guy that was in the black suit that was piloting the Black Lion was not named Keith.
That's true. I was like, well,
they're probably going a different way with
this.
I don't know what's happening.
That always did. No, we've talked about this before, but it did always bother me in the original show. I'm like, why is the guy wearing red not in the red line?
Yeah,
and the guy wearing blue in the red line.
Yeah. That makes no sense. It was what we call foreshadowing.
That's Power Rangers.
character knowledge in my head. I'm like, why would you do that?
We've all seen enough Sentai shows to know that color coding is a thing.
Yeah, it's true.
Why we're doing it now.
So I like the color coding a lot better.
Yeah. It matches. Everyone feels better.
Yeah.
The world is more organized, guys.
Yeah. And I do have to admit that watching the first episode, I was super confused when Lance was piloting the Blue Lion because I was like, but that's supposed to be Sven, and then he dies, and Allura. Okay, all right.
We're just keeping you on your toes.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I don't know what's gonna happen.
It took a little adjusting. You're like, okay, this is gonna be different. Yeah, let's see what they do.
It sure did. Yeah.
But yeah, no. These, like I said, I think Spaceball was my favorite episode this entire season.
Yeah, I have to say, more please.
Yeah. I enjoyed the hell out of the Blade of Marmora, but yes, Spaceball for me is Spaceball, and one of the ones we'll be talking about next week.
Yes.
Are just the pinnacles of this season. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So good.
That'll be fun.
That'll be a blast.
I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, tune in next week for that discussion. In the meantime, I want to talk to all you lovely human beings about iTunes.
iTunes!
So thank you for everyone who has gone onto iTunes, who has looked up our podcast, who has rated and commented and subscribed. When you do that, our producers actually do go onto the podcast online and see, oh, hey, people actually really like this show.
It's true.
So says the producer. We should keep it. And that's why we're back for season two, because they let us keep it.
Yay!
So if you want to keep us on the air as an after show, the best thing you can do, go onto iTunes, search AfterBuzz Voltron. We are the only thing that shows up with both of those keywords.
Mm-hmm.
Subscribe to the podcast, rate us 5 stars, and leave us a review.
Yes.
If you do that, again, the producers see it, and it also helps our ranking in the iTunes podcast bracket overall, so that when people search Voltron, we come up closer to the top.
Yes.
And, of course, if you leave a review, you get a shout-out on the show because we love you.
Yeah. We have 8 new iTunes reviews.
Oh my God. Auctioneer it. Just go fast.
So we've got first time doing a review from Ezia the Succubus. Thank you so much. I'm not going to read all of them because they're long.
Thank you.
And they're all really nice. They're all 5 stars. Thanks for the entertaining time. Patty Carrillo, what a great show. Sorka 42. How 9 minutes can make you a Voltron fan from 33 Jet. Fantastic
like
podcast.
An infomercial.
With fantastic hosts from Mimi 1417. Just Bex from April 1, who was very excited to see Bex on the show. And we've got a 10 out of 10 would recommend from Bellagandy 18. And I'm bonding with you from Confessions of a Writer. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. Take a shot.
That's crazy. That's like I feel like
5 shots in right
now. Yeah. But
more
like
eight new
iTunes reviews in the span of a week. Like that's pretty good.
Thank you guys.
So yeah, a couple things to keep in mind. First of all, thank you so much. Yeah. You guys are wonderful. And I think it takes a couple of days for an iTunes review to post.
Yeah.
So if you put it up on Wednesday night, we're not going to see it for the next show.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of time. If you are leaving a review in an iTunes store that is not the American iTunes store, or if you are leaving it in the podcast part of Google Plays, please screen cap that. Put it in the Twitter hashtag, ABTVVoltron. It's hard to find in a different iTunes store. Like, that's some fun navigation. But if you put it in the hashtag, we will see it. We will give you a shout out. And we absolutely love reading those.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much to everyone who has left a review. You guys are wonderful human beings.
Yes.
All right, and we are close to closing out. I think we've kept our yellow line in the booth for
like an hour.
I need to make cookies.
Skull try?
God, I hope not.
Oh, God.
Real cookies.
Just don't eat them.
Possibly break your teeth.
Yeah,
but you can replace the windshield of your car with
them. Y'all have to wait to find out.
Oh, God.
Until next week.
I worry about you. All right, is there anything else you'd like to say? Any projects that you're working on that you can tell us about? Anything you'd like to tell the fans?
There's another Netflix show that I'm on called Koolapari, and it's about frogs.
Yeah.
And, it's a lot of fun. There's that, and then DC Girls. I'm Hal Jordan and Flash on that. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that is able to be talked about right now.
And other future things?
There might be something, but I can't. You know what? I don't think I can talk about it yet.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, better safe than sorry. Better safe than sorry.
Keep an eye out for the future.
Yeah.
And happy belated birthday again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for my cake.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I mean, I, I would like set up camp here.
Hey, you're welcome back anytime.
I was gonna say at this point, like Bex is like, I'm gonna come back some week. We're just gonna like slowly just add more people to the couch.
Let's try to figure out a time when we can have more than one.
That'd be really fun.
There's plenty of room on the couch.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be down. Yeah, we'll just get everyone together.
There are three sets of headphones. No, but
we get a little crazy when
extra mics too because we've had more people in the thing. It's a little bit more complicated, but we've been able to do it.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
So where can the people go? Where can the people go online if they want to keep up with you?
Josh Keaton on Twitter. Space Padre on
Instagram. Seriously? Yeah, that's amazing.
It is.
Kosh Jeaton on Snapchat. And I have a Tumblr, and it's called Yes, This Is Blog.
That's perfect. Perfect.
Also, I have to say
I'm so happy right now.
That I loved your video of you showing all your lions that you got from...
I'm still going to do a video putting them together.
Yeah,
I just haven't had time to...
Yeah, that was my question.
I want to play with my toys.
Yeah. What I learned from that video is that sharing is caring.
Yeah, my daughter keeps me honest.
Thanks again for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, so much fun.
All right, Emma, where can the people find you?
I'm at Emma Fife on Twitter and Instagram. I'm on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I also tweet a lot, so if you follow me on Twitter, you will know everything I'm doing, and I'm doing a lot of things.
She is. I'm Alexis Torres. You can find me all over social media at atorres890. That's Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all that good stuff. I'm also doing a bunch of shows here as well. I think I'm doing 9 shows this year.
Dang, girl.
Again, I apologize for all the wedding stuff that's happening right now. And then I am working on the Mass Effect stuff because I forgot that the other stuff only plays on PS3. So I got to figure out how to do that. So we're working on it. I'm making it happen.
Yay. Don't ever apologize for wedding stuff. It looks amazing.
So okay. It's so pretty. I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's THEMENG. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on most of the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. I'm also on the Snapchat at Kia Prime. Arrow is on Wednesdays. We just finished the Ruby season finale earlier tonight. Go check that out. Star Wars Rebels comes back in 2 weeks. And most Fridays, I am at Geek and Sundry on Gather Your Party. So come join us. We play video games. It's a glorious time. We're all kind of ridiculous, and it's awesome. Thank you again for joining
us.
And thanks to everyone who's watching us for joining us in the hashtag,
us
in the live chat, for just having a grand old time with us tonight. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Let's go to the mall!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.